Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Dan Summers, Sports Radio 101.9 FM, and Sports Radio 66 WFAN.
Well, it is a very good evening to you, and how you be, and all of us here hope and wish and pray that you be as fine and as healthy as possible at 9:05. And 10 seconds to go right along with it on this Wednesday night on your fan, New York City. Steve Summers here and you there. Brian Rascona. Brian on the other side of the glass in 1-877-337-6666 for another 1 hour schmooze right up until Sal Licata. Sal coming your way at 10 on your fan, New York City. Well, what an honor. And as previously advertised, number 35 of the New York Rangers joins us. And Mike Richter, believe me when I say, can't thank you enough for a couple of minutes of your time.
Well, thanks for having me. It's nice to at least emotionally get out of the house.
First of all, before we get into anything, and I'm a little bit nervous, although we did interview you in the past when you were an active player for the New York Rangers, so I should be used to this by now, but it is such an honor, especially at this time. And because we are in such a surreal time, let me ask, first of all, how you are managing, how you are coping during this very surreal time, not just you, but your family and your friends as well.
Well, thanks for asking, and fortunately, we're doing well. It's an uncertain time, and it's scary because the news keeps changing, and it's not quite changing for the better yet, but we will all get through it. But I do appreciate you asking, and my hope is for the health and safety of all your listeners, for sure, because, it's an amazing moment we're going through here, and hopefully it is a moment. It's not as long as some people are predicting, and we can get on the other side of it and return to normalcy. But, you hear that phrase, we're in this together, a lot, and I don't think, at least in my lifetime, there's too many things that have been, as in this together as this moment. You're truly relying on your neighbors to do the right thing, and businesses are being hurt, and people are at risk, and you gotta just abide by the best science that we have. And I think it sounds like everybody's doing it, but not easy times, but onward.
Yeah, onward and to move forward as best we can. Nicely said, nicely done on your part. You've been involved since your playing days. You've been involved in lots of things that probably are as halted as so many other things are. I would like to ask you about some of the things that you have been involved in since your playing days.
Well, yeah, it's something that you don't have a great perspective while you're a player, because look, the day I retired is the oldest at that moment that I'd ever been in my life. I was 36, and that's how you identify yourself, and that's what you're uniquely qualified to do. You're good at being a goalie, and so you know it's going to end, and but it's hard to be prepared entirely for it. But you know, I had a young family, and it was the timing wasn't ideal. It never is. You know, I was injured, but in a lot of ways, it was, you know, it was okay. You have to the rest of your life. And I went back to school, finished my undergrad degree, and then started a series of small companies in the renewable energy space, ultimately. And I've been interested in that in a long time. And it's, you know, one of those things that I don't think we're particularly smart on it, but it's a very different world from 10 years ago when I was getting into the space, 12 years ago. You see the local law 97 here in New York. There's been a, you know, major emphasis put on efficiency, generally speaking, from cars to blenders to buildings. And that's a good thing, because you're talking about better technology that makes your life not just cheaper to operate, but more enjoyable, better heat, better lighting, better modes of transportation. And yeah, I've been in that for a long time, and it's a really exciting place to be right now.
It's always so difficult for the professional athlete in any sport to finally say, that's it, I can't do it, I'm not the same, it's time to move on with the next chapter of my life. But you made that adjustment. You allude to going back to Yale and completing what education you wanted to complete. You did that, and you were able to make the adjustment. And maybe it may not have been as smooth in the very beginning, because it's the unknown when you've been a player your whole life. But nonetheless, you did make that adjustment.
Yeah, you kind of have to. And again, it really did help having a young family, because that's a life-changing moment. In a lot of ways, you're so selfish as an athlete. You know, you have to be. You have to be thinking about, what am I eating today? When am I going to bed? How do I prepare for this? You know, I had a hard time, frankly, balancing the two sometimes. And so then you're out of that athletic world, and you say, well, yeah, I might have a test today, but my son's sick, so I'm staying home, or, you know, anything else can wait. It gives you a different perspective, and, you know, you have to be that uniquely focused at the time. And so, yeah, in a lot of ways, the timing was good. And now I have three boys. They're older, and they're, I don't want to say they're quite on their own, but they're old, you know, from 16 to 19. And they're involved very much in their own life, and I'm quite focused on this career. And look, if you're running a small company, or you have anything to do with a startup, there's not a lot of glide. You have to focus on it. So that's been taking a lot of my time and energy. But, you know, back to sports for a moment, we're all fans when we started playing the game as young kids. You know, I knew every single player and their stats on the Philadelphia Flyers where I grew up, and loved everybody across the league, and just was thrilled by watching any game I could. And I'm still like that, right? And, you know, we have all this time at home, and it's so ironic, because all the sports that we follow, particularly, you know, the Rangers, for that exciting team and their march to the playoffs, is there no longer. So I feel for those guys. It's nobody. There's not an easy gig for anybody given this virus.
How difficult do you think, and you can only imagine and guess, we understand, but how difficult do you think it is right now for a Henrik Lundqvist?
Yeah, we were actually speaking about that the other day. I can't imagine being healthy and focused, and, you know, he's still a tremendous player. Yeah, he's an older guy, but he can contribute clearly. And, you know, there's so many things that can get in your way when you play the game. Injuries and just poor play and countless things. This is, you think about a guy like that, you don't have that many days left. If you recall back in 2005, I think it was, when we had our last work stoppage with the NHL, a lot of people retired. You can't be 36 and take a full year off and then say, you know, I think I'm ready to play now. You know, instead of going back at 37, you're going back at 38. And that's there's a lot of momentum that this died. If you're 24, you're like, all right, this is not good, but I'm going back. for the older guys, you don't get that time back. It's very apparent and very difficult. Look, even if you are 24, you don't get that time back, so you don't want to give up a game. You look at Alex Ovechkin chasing every record, it seems, and, you know, every game was something new happening, and with 10 or 15 games left in the season, he had an awful lot of hay to make, and he was playing great. You feel for all these guys. But yeah, as they would be the first to admit, there's larger things happening now, and life chucks you these curveballs, and you're going to have to deal with them, and we all will.
All right, let me ask you one final question about the current Rangers, or maybe two more, we'll see. But, and we're talking with Mike Richter of the New York Rangers, number 35. If you were him, now this is all hypothetical, so you can speculate and do a little bit of guessing here. If you were at the moment, right now, Henrik Lundqvist, and you had a no trade, but you love being a member of the Rangers, living in New York, he's always embraced New York, so popular, so good for so long, not winning any Stanley Cup, coming close, as everyone knows. But if you had the no-trade clause, if you were Henrik Lundqvist, what would you do?
Man, it's obviously a difficult question. And I don't want to punt on the answer, but I think there's so many nuances to it. What does your family want? What is the coach, what is the GM saying? I mean, behind closed doors, we're not there. And they might be saying, look, man, we need your leadership. You might not play as much, but we got to get these young guys going. There's so many possible eventualities here that go into what decision you're making, what Henrik knows and what I know, and what really becomes apparent when you're in that position is you don't get a lot of chances to continue to play. When it's over, it's over. Mike Jordan, you know, Wayne Gretzky, everybody ends, whether it's, you know, a bad shoulder or a coach finally tapping on that same shoulder and saying, hey, man, we're not renewing your contract, or you know, look at Brady. He's moving on. The best that's ever played the game still has to have it come to an end sometime. So you could say that no one really voluntarily retires. So you're told you can't play anymore, one way or another. And so you want to make the most of it. I'm saying all that because you really do want to make the most of it when you still have the ability to strap on the pads and play, and he's still a brilliant player. So I just, you know, again, I can't put myself in his family and his brain, but one thing that figures heavily, he's an incredible competitor, and the man wants to play, and he wants to win. Sure. So that's, I don't think that's ever out of the calculation.
Mike,
and it shouldn't be.
Yeah, no. And that, your honesty and is very much appreciated. That's for sure. How many times over the years have people like myself and so many others, I'm imagining, how many times, if you could even count, how many times have people brought up 93, the 94 season to you?
Well, you know, it's funny, you never get tired of talking about your successes. I've always said that when speaking about Pavel Bure's penalty shot, you know, he scored a lot of goals that year and plenty on me. And
Game four.
Him that time. And so, yeah, it's always fun to talk about that. I make the joke that, you know, we won every year, but we just happened to talk about 94. No, I mean, look, it's exciting because it is a fleeting thing. Even the best players don't win every year. You know, Tiger Woods in his prime didn't win every tournament that he entered. So it truly is a gift to be in that position. You know, as a player, as a fan, but as an organization, you have to learn how to do that. I spoke to Neil Smith not long ago. I see Mike Keenan once in a while, and you know, it's not quite catching lightning in a bottle, but you know, you have to remain healthy. You have to have a team that's capable of going that distance. You have to have your best players playing their best hockey at the right time. And matchups, who you're playing against matters, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, on any given year when you play against a team that maybe you struggled against, you either have to overcome that or maybe it's not a good matchup. So much has to go right, but that'd be the biggest thing is you have to have the personnel and you have to react properly, and we did that year. So, you know, I it's funny, I was, you know, laughing about that with my wife. Like, I just thought once we learned to do it as an organization, I truly expected, you know, what do you want when you win one? You want two. And if you had two, you want three and four and five. And but it's so disappointing not to win it, particularly after you have, because you know you have that capability. But as you get away from your career, you just realize how fortunate you are, you know, the great players that had to be surrounding you in order for you to have that success. It's never one guy. You know, we had the Adam Graves, the Messes, the Leachies, the Zubovs, and just character up and down that lineup. And
did you ever see Craig McTavish lose a face-off?
No. And I always talk about that last picture where you have Steve Larmer pinning his man against the boards, Mac T winning the face-off, Mark, you know, clearing the front of the net. Everybody who was brought in to do their job did their job, and that's why you win. Every puzzle piece has to be working in unison and doing what they are asked to do. And it is a thrilling moment, and really one that I feel every day that goes by more fortunate.
Steve Larmer with that left-handed shot. Esa Tiikkanen certainly played a role, didn't he?
Yeah, Esa, it's almost impossible to give him the credit that he's due. He's quietly there, but people don't talk about him as much as they should. He was such a brilliant player, so talented offensively, but also so smart about reading the play. He could shut down any forward on the opposition team because he had the skill and the speed and the strength to hang with anybody. So he can be that shutdown guy, and he can come in and score goals. Kovalev was the same way. I mean, who do you defend on that team, right? Yeah, you go after Leachie and Zubov and Mess and Gravy. And Gravy scored, 54 that year? There's a lot of weapons. And as you know, you might shut those guys down for a little bit, but if you truly have a team, someone else is going to come to the fore. And then, you know, enter Matteau. And, you know, he didn't just score one overtime goal. He had scored a couple big ones in that series. So, yeah, it was, when you have that kind of success over that long period of time, that's always going to be a team effort.
Zubov at the point.
And, so good.
Oh, yeah. And absolutely amazing. That's for sure. And here's what Brian Leach, and this is a quote from Brian Leach about you. Never seen anyone more focused. As the game got tougher, he got better. If a goal was ever scored on him, I was always surprised. And you allude to Pavel Bure and the penalty shot he had against you in Game 4 of the Cup Finals. Can I say that Pavel Bure never had a chance?
That's funny. Well,
never had a chance.
Well, it was funny, too. I mean, look, he's a brilliant player, and you got to play him honestly. There was no guessing or supposing he was going to do one thing. You know he has speed and you know he has capabilities. So you do what you've practiced your entire life to do. And you look at each of the teams we played in that round from the Islanders. I know we beat them in four, but they were viciously hard in that series. And emotionally, you had to kind of slay that ghost a little bit.
And what was the final score in that fourth game? I think the Islanders lost 6-0.
I think we won the first two games 6-0. The last game I thought was 3-2.
All right. And I know you had four shutouts. I wanted to think that you had all four shutouts against the Islanders.
That is definitely the the goal every time you enter the ice. And, you know, we were scoring so well. I mean, we really had a pretty well-oiled machine there. So We could beat you with defense. We could beat you with offense. We could beat you with speed or strength and toughness. So, yeah, that was a team where we just had a lot of confidence because we felt there was just so much, I guess, ability up and down the lineup in so many different ways. And, you know, the thing that we had maybe more than anything else was experience. You get those guys in from Edmonton, the Tikkanens, the Kevin Lowe's, the Mac T's, Mess, of course. You know, Jeff Bukaboom had been around that brilliance of Gretzky and that whole organization for a long time. And you know, it shows. You're going to take a hit. You're going to take on water here and there, and you got to be able to fight through it. And sure, we were down, you know, 3-2 and facing elimination, and that makes you tougher. And these guys, they were great. They were great to be around, and all the young guys learned so much from them.
You know, not surprising to hear you give so much credit to such a great team. And, of course, Ranger fans dying to be alive long enough to see the Rangers win another Stanley Cup. And you do allude to that series against the Devils and how classic it was and how big was that Kovalev goal in Game 6.
You know, you got to think about playing against our team. And just like that, Mess always said he was a secret weapon. I mean, the kid from day one was so talented and very difficult to play against. You weren't sure what he was going to do. Is he going to, he was strong as an ox. And so he was not a guy you could take off a puck easily. He could skate well. His moves were ridiculous. And he would, I think he was just so creative that you didn't really, it was hard to have a book on him, right? You knew Pavel Bure's speed and whatnot, but this guy could kind of do anything he wanted at any given moment. And, you know, at the end of the second period, he took a look, took a few steps in, and then unleashed a shot that, you know, that was the thing that kept us alive in that game.
Yeah.
And he was a bit of a game breaker that year. He didn't score as many goals as, you know, Zuby or Leachy, but he had that ability just to change the complexion of a game with one shift or one shot. And God, he sure did in that game. And he was a very, very valuable player even at a young age there.
And that natural hat trick, Kovalev got it started in that game 6, and of course the Rangers were down 3-2. You were down 2-0, I believe, in that game.
Yeah.
And Kovalev got it started, and of course a natural hat trick by Messier. I was at the Garden for game 7, and I've been to the World Series with the baseball. I've been to an NCAA Finals. I have been, I've seen a Super Bowl. That Game 7 against the Devils, one of the greatest games I've ever seen in my life. And your thoughts when the Devils in that Game 7 tied it with, I believe, 7.7 seconds to go.
Yeah, it was just incredible. I mean, I sometimes laugh now seeing the, in a lot of ways, seeing the fans, because it's almost easier to play the game than it is to watch. I mean, it's nerve-wracking to watch that game. You have no control over it, and here you go, oh my gosh, we're going to the finals, this team's built for, oh my God, New Jersey just scored. And you think about it, we still have to go out and take the face off, walk off the ice, then you have this 20-minute delay, all the momentum's on Jersey's side. I mean, everything about that was horrible. And, you know, for the poor fans, they're going, the curse is there. You know, what's going to happen now? It was so horrible to, you know, just watch the facial expressions and just the utter disgust that people had with all your hopes just dashed right there. And it, you know, for the life of me, it did look from a distance that Jersey took over that game. And that was the end of that. But that's, you know, in the locker room was a bit of a different story. You know, we said the right things. We knew what we had to do. And that's the other thing you got to appreciate. New Jersey's a great team. I mean, they had the second most points that year. They're not going to go away without a fight. And that's what good teams do. They push back, and they did. And, you know, now it's our turn to be able to, you know, take that blow and then push back again, and we did. And, you know, I have to say, there's never bad time to win a Stanley Cup. There's no bad way to win it, but there's better, better ways. And to be able to go to two double overtimes in a single series and then two series in a row going to seventh game, that's just, you know, it's a really great experience to get through as a fan and to get through as a player and to experience. So I would trade winning the cup for nothing, but I'm glad it was as hard and as you know, challenging of a journey as it ultimately was. It was really an amazing thing to be part of.
And out of nowhere, Mateau said Howie Rose.
It just amazing. And, you know, I got to look back on that, too, because Steph had won, I think, the double overtime game in New Jersey. What, game two? No, sorry, that would have to be game three or four. Right. And just, you know, he had a way of making a big play out of a very, you know, mundane-looking shift. If you see that, the lead-up to that goal in that game seven, double overtime, he hadn't had a lot of shifts. He's a, you know, great storyteller, and he said, you know, I'm going to get that goal, and sat on the bench for a long time and came out pretty fresh, and they dumped it in the corner, and it honestly looked like the play was dead, and he went around, and, you know, if you had stopped it at any point on that shift and said, you know, is anything good going to happen in this? It wasn't an end-to-end rush. It wasn't like we had a lot of pressure. It was just a simple dump in and a guy making something out of nothing. And good players do that, and he did exactly what he was brought in for. He used his size and strength and headed to the net, bread and butter move, and it worked. I think that's such a interesting part of all teams that you have who's going to be the hero. And it's sometimes an unlikely guy, and you know, his name will forever be remembered with that one, as it should be, because that was one heck of a moment.
And so will you. And you'll be remembered because of your quickness and your reflexes. You were never, listen to me closely, you were never out of position. And you were just great. And you'll be remembered forever, not just in New York, by the way, but throughout all of what is hockey all over the world. And I hope that we have hockey more. I don't know about this season. I'm sure you don't either. And the Rangers were making a little bit of a run, and this was supposed to be a transition year, Mike, for them. This was supposed to be a development year for them, but they were showing some fight as the season came to an end much sooner than we wanted.
Yeah, and it's, you know, we will get back to normalcy at some point, and I hope the season is salvaged. But no matter what happens, this Ranger team is, I think, look, I'm a homer. I like the root for the Blue Shirts, but that's one of the most exciting teams in the league. And you know, they clearly have spectacular goaltending. All three of those guys can play the game. But, you know, how many times do you take a big free agent like a Panarin and have him really not just match but exceed expectations? I mean, a lot of pressure on the guy. He puts it on himself, but he does everything. He plays a three-zone game. He helps out down low. His ability to read the ice is so impressive. He's amazing to watch. Really one of the funnest players to watch in all of sport, and we're lucky enough to have him, you know, home 41 times a year. And on top of that, these young guys are thrust in a position where they're not just learning; they're actually, you know, they can compete with the best. And you've watched them go across the season, and this is a good coaching staff and management team in terms of teaching. These guys have learned a lot, and they're far more consistent now than they were at the beginning of the year. Yeah. You know, you're going to have great games and poor games and good streaks and bad, but man, these kids, they compete hard every night, and they're a dangerous team, and more than anything, they're exciting. So yeah, I'd love to see them continue the season and be rewarded for what they've done, but no matter what happens, these guys have learned a ton, and that is a team that'll come back strong again next year, whatever takes place in these last few months. That's an awesome team, and New York's going to be treated to some great great hockey with the Blue Shirts. And the cool thing is, you know, the Devils went through a rebuilding. They had their hiccups, but they look like they could be a team that could be pretty damn good. And you know that the Islanders are too. So hockey in the tri-state area, or the three teams anyway, is that this will kind of reignite a lot of the rivalry that's been there forever.
Focus and flexibility and athleticism was and continues to be Mike Richter, and I can't thank you enough for a half hour here. It means a lot to all of us. It means a lot to hockey fans, Ranger fans. You know that. Can't thank you enough. And we wish you, your family, friends, everybody that you care about the best, and that you cope and manage this surreal time as best you can. We can't thank you enough.
Well, I can't thank you enough to have me on the show. We all miss the sport, and we all, you know, wish you, your family, all your listeners, just health and safety. It's an uncertain time, but we will get through it. And thanks for having me on. It's a nice break for me too.
Our pleasure, for sure. Thanks, Mike, a lot. All right.
Have a great night.
You bet. Mike Richter, of course, we thank him, and we'll get back to your telephone calls. We have lines open, so no from the 1-877-337-6666 on your Fan New York.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh,